Good evening. It's good once again to be able to come together on the Lord's Day to worship God, and we appreciate that opportunity to sing and pray and study God's Word together. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 7, in just a moment we're going to look at the life of Abraham, and I'd like to begin with some thoughts that Stephen says there in Acts chapter 7. We want to continue our journey through reviewing the book of Genesis. And so this evening we're going to be looking at Genesis chapters 12 through 25, the life of Abraham. And that's a beautiful story to preach on and teach on. And Abraham can be covered from a number of different angles, different ways to look at his life, all beneficial. But I want to look at the way his life begins in Acts chapter 7 and then in Genesis chapter 12. And I hope that our lesson this evening will be beneficial to all of us. I asked Mason if he would lead right before the lesson, "Take my life." That's really what we're going to be looking at tonight. Giving our life over to God and His service. And in just a moment, you may have noticed the invitation song, the well-known invitation song, "I Surrender All." That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Abraham surrendered all. I want to talk about Abraham's surrendering faith. And hopefully, at the end of the lesson, there may be someone who will surrender all and come and obey the gospel or come back to the Lord. Or maybe we can be reminded this evening, that this week, to surrender all for the Lord. Of course, when we look at a review of the book of Genesis, we're looking at Genesis chapter 1 through 11, we have four great events. We have the creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. When we look at the rest of the book, Genesis chapter 12 through 50, we have four great patriarchs: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Interesting thing about the book of Genesis is that chronologically or time-wise, it's a little out of balance. Did you know that Genesis 1 through 11 is about 2,000 years? But Genesis 12 through 50 is about 285 years. It's interesting. The majority of the book takes less time. And so when we're looking at Genesis 1 through 11, you're looking at about 2,000 years. When you're looking at the lives of the four patriarchs, you're looking at about 285 years. And we're going to look at about 200 of those years or less in the life of Abraham. And then going on, including the life of Jacob. But turn with me to Acts chapter 7. I thought about how can we look at Abraham as a whole. There's a number of different ways to look at him. He's clearly a man of faith. You could look at Abraham from a number of different aspects, but I want to look at it this evening from the very first thing that is said to Abraham. I believe Abraham's life is characterized by the very first thing that is said to him. What's the first thing that God says to Abraham? The very first thing. Stephen, reviewing the life of Abraham in Acts chapter 7 and verse 1 in his great sermon there in Jerusalem, the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran." This is in his city, Ur, what we call Ur of the Chaldees. Just between modern day Baghdad and the Persian Gulf. So God appears to Abraham and said, what's the very first thing he said? Verse 3. "Get thee out of thy land and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee." Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, God removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. What's the very first thing that God said to Abraham? Get out of your country. And brethren, this evening, that's what I want to talk about. Abraham's surrendering faith. What is faith? Well, you could look at, for example, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You could look at faith from the standpoint of what it is as a word definition. It's faith and trust and confidence and belief. You could look at faith that way. You could look at faith from the standpoint of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That faith is doing what God says. But I believe ultimately faith is surrender, isn't it? Surrendering what we want to what God wants. The very first thing that Abraham hears, or at least that is recorded for us, is get out of your country. You're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to surrender something. You're going to have to leave something. And so this evening I want to talk about, as we review Genesis 12 through 25, the life of Abraham, I want to talk about Abraham's surrendering faith. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 12, when Genesis chapter 12 opens up with the story of Abraham. He had already been called by God in his home city of Ur, and now he has traveled north to Haran, and that's where Genesis 12 picks up. And it's the same thing. What's the very first thing that God says to Abraham? Chapter 12 and verse 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Give up something. Surrender something. And that's why we're going to sing in just a moment, I surrender all. I believe faith is ultimately surrendering to God. And so this evening, I want us to talk about four things that Abraham surrendered for our admonition and learning, to encourage us in a greater service to God. There are four things that Abraham had to give up and leave, and leave behind and surrender. And are we willing to do those same things this evening? First of all, in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read the first 9 verses. Abraham had to surrender his country and his kinship. His physical surroundings, where he grew up with, the family that he was with, and even Joshua says in the book of Joshua that Abraham had inherited from his family idolatry, false gods, and so to give up a religion, that's very difficult. Let's read together chapter 12 and verse 1. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. Notice he says country and kindred in verse 1. The first thing that Abraham surrendered was his country and his kindred. Verse 2, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram went as Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land under the place of Shechem unto the oak of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And Jehovah appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto Jehovah who appeared unto him. And he moved from there unto the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto Jehovah and called upon the name of Jehovah. And Abram sojourned, going on still toward the south. I want us to consider this evening, first of all, that Abraham surrendered his country and his kinship. I want you to think about the task involved in that. In chapter 12 and verse 5, there's this statement that summarizes this journey. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And we might read that and might not think about what all is involved in that. We might think, well, it's like leaving Clarksville and traveling down to Nashville, right? We're talking about a very long distance. We're talking about a great sacrifice. He got out and left to go. And do you know it is about a 1,000-mile journey? It was about 600 miles from Ur up to Haran. And then another 400 miles back down to Shechem and Bethel, about 1,000 miles. Now somebody says, well, that's not a big deal. We get on planes and trains and modern-day transportation, and we can go 1,000 miles pretty quickly. But transport yourself back about 4,000 years and make a 1,000-mile trip. Have you ever thought about 1,000 miles from Clarksville? What is that? What is that equal to? Go home and Google that, and you'll see that when you get 1,000 miles, you've gotten to Montreal. You've gotten to Denver, Colorado. You've gotten to Monterrey, Mexico. And the one that blew my mind is you start walking from Clarksville, as Abraham and his family would have done, or they may have been riding some on maybe a donkey or a camel or something like that. You start doing that from Clarksville and go 1,000 miles, and if you start heading south, you know where you'll get? Havana, Cuba. And you still got 20 miles left that you could go after you get to Havana. Stop and think about 1,000 miles. That's a long way away. And to leave and to get out and to not return and go to a completely different place, that is quite a sacrifice. We're not talking about driving down to Nashville. We're talking about going to Havana, Cuba. That's a long way. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. He was willing to surrender his home and his family because God said to. And when God speaks, faith is just surrendering faith. That's what faith is, ultimately. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. That was about 1,000 miles, brethren. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations. I'm willing to surrender an earthly city for a heavenly city, which is far greater. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the heaven in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. I'm going to leave Ur, and I'm going to leave my kindred. I want a heavenly country. I want a heavenly family. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But Abraham's mind was not on going back. It was always on going forward. And so when we surrender, we don't look back. We don't go back. We always keep that heaven look. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I am told, an archaeologist and historian say that Ur at this time was a magnificent and beautiful place, but nothing like the heavenly city that God is preparing. Abraham surrendered his country and his kinship, and we must too. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20 that our citizenship is in heaven. We sang this evening, this world is not my home. God is not asking us to literally leave Clarksville. If he were, then we would need to do that. But he is asking us not to put down roots. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. 1 Peter 2:11. We are pilgrims and sojourners as well. We're not to love the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. This world is not our attraction. The physical things of where we live, we need those as necessities to live, but they are not our country. We're going to a heavenly place, and our citizenship is in heaven. And there may need to be a break. Just as Abraham surrendered his country, the text says he also surrendered his kinship. And there may be situations where when we become a Christian, there's going to have to be a break in ties with family. Not in the sense of you never talk with them, or you never help them or care for them, but we're not in fellowship because they're not faithful Christians. And so even Jesus said that, "I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So Abraham left behind that idolatrous religion, and he left behind those people that would be ultimately lost, who wouldn't put their faith in God. And maybe we have to do the same. But faith will surrender that, and will love Jesus more than even family ties. And so we follow Him and put Him first in our life. This evening, let us be willing to have a surrendering faith. Come back with me now to Genesis chapter 12, and let's pick up the story again in verse 10. Abraham, when he gets to the land of Canaan, has some interesting escapades, doesn't he? Many of them involve his nephew Lot. The second thing that we're going to see this evening is that Abraham was willing to surrender his own personal rights and desires and what he would like to do from day to day. There's a famine in the land, and so they go down to Egypt. And in chapter 13, his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen get into it. There's not enough land to feed the animals. And so Abraham says, you pick what you want and take your animals there. He's having to deal with things that he would not normally have of his own choosing. And then in chapter 14, the first Bible recorded the hostage rescue attempt. And Lot finds himself in the middle of this civil war. And what does Uncle Abraham do? He comes and bails him out, saves him. Abraham is not asking for these things. And yet he is giving up his own personal rights and choices in order to help those around him. He could say, "Lot got into his own problem. I'm not going to help him out." And if Lot's herdsmen are not being able to feed their animals, that's their problem. But he's always looking out for the rights and desires and judgments of others. Brethren, when we surrender our faith, and being a faithful Christian is not just about us personally trying to get to heaven, but how do we handle those situations around us with family and members of the church and even people out in the world? A lot of times a surrendering faith is that we have to surrender our own personal rights and desires and judgments and things such as that. One of the biggest examples of this, if you turn over to chapter 18 and verse 22, when Lot decides to saddle up with these folks in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know that it rubbed off on their family, evil companionships corrupt good morals. He's in the thick of this immorality. What is Abraham doing in chapter 18 and verse 22? He's praying for Lot. "Please don't destroy the city. Give them an opportunity. And if you can find a few righteous souls there." Abraham wouldn't be doing that if he weren't in that area. He's having to do things, deal with situations and issues not of his own choosing. It wouldn't be what he would get up that morning and want to do, but he's got to do it anyway. So his praying for Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 20, the story with Abimelech. In chapter 23, where he purchases a place to bury his wife. In chapter 24, where he sends his servant to back home to find a wife for Isaac. He's dealing not just with his own life, but with situations and issues of other people, and much of it is not his own choosing. And yet he's being the righteous person he needs to be. There's an exception here or there. He's not a sinless man. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's looking out for those matters of others. Number two, surrendering faith is surrendering our own personal rights and desires. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. We don't live on an island, brethren. We have a local church where there's others. We have a family where there are others. We live in a community where there are others. We don't live on an island. And when we are around others, Paul says that we are to have the mind of Christ and look out for those things of others. That's exactly what Abraham is doing. And so in verse 4, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. There are announcements made here that involve working together as a local congregation. And what can we do to volunteer to help with things inside and outside of the building? What can we do to make sure that the congregation moves forward? What plans can we make? How can we work together and be unified? That is looking out for the things of others. Abraham surrendered his own personal rights and desires to help out Lot and to help out others around him. And that's a great thing that we need to remember as well. Paul has two chapters, quite a few verses on this in 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans chapter 14, where he gives a couple examples there of eating meats and certain observing certain days. And he talks about in 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans 14 that in matters of personal rights and liberties and judgments, that we need to look out for the things of others. That's what brings peace. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 especially. This is not talking about matters of right and wrong and doctrine. It's talking about matters that in and of themselves God has neither said that they're right nor wrong. And in those matters where it's matters of judgment and personal liberties, would we be willing to put the liberties of others before ourselves? And so in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, so then let us follow after things which make for peace and things whereby we may edify one another. And when I read that, I think of Genesis 13. What did Abraham say to his nephew when they're striving and fighting? We be brethren. We be brethren. Let there be no strife. Peace is sometimes brought about by me taking a back seat to you and taking a back seat to others. That's what is going to, in matters of personal liberties and rights and things that often come up, that is what is going to make for peace. And so it's interesting that Abraham is not just surrendering his home and kinship, but when he gets over into the land of Canaan, there's just daily, weekly, monthly, practical, daily grind kinds of things where living a faithful life for God involves helping others. And let us be willing to do that as well. Come back with me now to Genesis chapter 15. The third thing that Abraham was willing to surrender, and I believe that that ultimately is what faith is. I surrender all. When you come back to Genesis chapter 15 now, you come up to the point where God is saying, now that you're over here in the land, I want to talk with you. And he had indicated it back in chapter 13 and verse 14. He had indicated this matter of you will have a seed. He had already indicated that back in chapter 12 and verse 1 and following. But he starts in chapter 15 to get more specific as to who this seed is going to be, who this heir is going to be. And so the third thing that Abraham has to surrender is his own wisdom and will and judgment. What I think and what I feel and what I would do in this situation, he has to give it up and let God choose all of that. In fact, in the song that we just sang, I believe it was the second verse, take my life, let it be. He talks about the will. Take my will and let it be yours. And that's one of the hardest things to surrender, isn't it? I just speak for myself. You might think about your own personal life. What's one of the most personal things that would be hard to surrender and give up? Wouldn't it be your own, what you will, what you want? That's one of the hardest things to give up, isn't it? We know that those of us who are married know that you have to do that. And when we're married to Christ, we have to do that. So starting in chapter 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, we're getting into the portion of Abraham's life where he's spelling out that you and Sarah will have a child. That's my will. That's my wisdom. And we begin to see where Abraham and Sarah are having to work that thing out. Do I surrender that or not? And so look at chapter 15. The first thing that Abraham wants to do, verse 2, is he wants to say, well, let my servant Eliezer, let him be the one through which this promise is obtained. And God says, no, that's not my will. That might be your will, but that's not my will. You and Sarah are going to have a son. And then they have to learn in chapter 16 that that's not going to be through Hagar. It's going to be through Abraham and Sarah. That's my will, God says. Don't go off and do something with your will. And that's what they did with regard to Abraham and Hagar and Ishmael. Abraham's having to learn to surrender my will to what God wants. And he wants a child through Abraham and Sarah. He doesn't want the servant Eliezer. He doesn't want the child Ishmael. He wants the way he wants it. It's God's will. It's God's wisdom. It's God's judgment. And Abraham and Sarah, they make the plea that we're old and it's not going to happen. And they laugh on occasion and things like that. They're having to learn to surrender their will. And when they finally do that, the child is born. Later in chapter 21, that child of promise, that child of blessing. And through the process of it all, they're learning to surrender their will. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4 and let's read about it there. Romans chapter 4. Brethren, there is a will. It's called the New Testament. It's the second will. Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9 and 10 talk about the new will, the second will. God's will, it's written down and recorded for us in the New Testament. It's His wisdom. James calls it the wisdom that is from above in the last part of James chapter 3. Brethren, we've got to learn to surrender our own wisdom and judgment and will over to God. Look at Romans chapter 4 and picking up the reading in verse 17, speaking about Abraham. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee. Before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead and calleth the things that are not as though they were, who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised he was able to perform. Wherefore also it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Abraham and Sarah got to the point, and this is even brought out in Hebrews 11 with regard to Sarah. They get to the point where they wavered not through unbelief. That wasn't early on. That took some time. But in time, they surrendered their will and they did God's work in God's way. And that is that Abraham and Sarah would have a child. They had to learn not to laugh anymore. They had to learn not to come up with their own plan anymore, not to do it themselves, but to just simply do what God wants done. Number three, Abraham surrendered his own will to God's will. And isn't that what we must do? What did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42? Not my will, but thy will be done. Isn't that what he prayed? And isn't that the example for us? We talk about what we want in the church. It needs to be what God wants. We talk about what we want in worship and what we're hearing today about. Let's change our worship styles in the Church of Christ. We need this and we want this. It's not God's will. And we're not walking by faith because faith surrenders our will to God's will, whether it be the plan of salvation, whether it be the work of the church, the organization of the church, whatever it is. What does God will? That needs to be our statement in our faith. And Abraham ultimately surrendered that. Jesus said in John chapter 7, if you'll turn with me there, He that willeth, if any man willeth to do his will, underscore that in your Bible. We all will to do things that we want. But here's the key. If any man willeth to do his will, that's God's will, he shall know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. Each day that we get up, let's be willing to surrender. And again, I speak for myself. But I think it's typical of all that one of the hardest things to surrender is our own personal will. But if we'll do that and let go and let God take over, He will guide us in the way that we need to go all the way to heaven. It's hard to give it up. Is there anything at home you don't want to give up? You might have some antiques, you might have some jewelry, you might have some precious things. You just don't want to let it go. Faith is letting some things go and letting God control our lives and use us in His service. Come with me now to Genesis chapter 22. There's one last thing that Abraham surrendered. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Abraham surrendered his own son. You know what's interesting about the progression of these things that we're studying this evening? You see how that as a walk of faith continues on, it's almost as if the more and more we walk by faith and more we are closer to God, the more and more God is going to ask us to give up something closer and closer to us. So Abraham starts off with Ur of the Chaldees. And I don't know what kind of towns that you've lived in your life. And maybe we've lived in some very beautiful places. But let's face it, leaving a beautiful city is probably easier than sacrificing your own son, right? And so as we see the progression being made here in Abraham's life, we see that there is more and more, closer and closer to us, that we have to be willing to surrender. And before Abraham's life is over, God comes to him and says, I've got one more thing I need you to give up. And that's something that is very close to you, and that's your only son. Turn with me to Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. There's a lot packed in that verse 2. Look at it. Unpack that a little bit. He said, take now thy son, thine only son. Well, we know that Abraham had another son. He had a son, Ishmael. So he wasn't talking about the literal number of sons in his family. He's talking about the only son of promise. And so this is the one through whom these blessings are going to happen. And so take that which is singular in nature. There's not a number of them that you can choose from. So that's a challenge. Number two, whom thou lovest. We all know of parents who don't love their children. We all know of parents who, some of them hate their children. But this was a very close relationship between Abraham and Isaac. He loved his son. So that's the second challenge. The first one is it was the only one. The second one is that he loved him. And then the third thing is, look at verse 2. Offer him therefore a burnt offering. What does that require? Fire? You're going to set your son on fire? You see? It's not just quietly kill him, quietly slay him, discreetly put him to death. He's going to be on fire. And so we read in verse 3, and Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and so forth, surrendering all. I surrender all. He sacrificed what he loved, verse 3, and without hesitation. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is surrendering all, even when it's that which is closest to us, that which we love and cherish and that's dear to us. If God wants it, God gets it. And that's why many in the world today are not Christians. They're not members of the church. They don't want to give up these things that we've been talking about tonight. But you do. And you're trying to get your family to. We know from the story of Abraham and other Bible stories that that is what it takes. Jesus said, if you will deny yourself. And He says daily. It's a daily surrendering. That's the way. That's the heaven's way. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Yea, he that had gladly received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Even he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive him back. If God is asking me to do this, underscore in your Bible, God is able. Whatever God is asking me to do, as challenging as it is, as dear as it is to give it up, God is able to work this in such a way that it will get me to heaven. Brethren, we must be willing to surrender our own. And that's why Jesus said in our scripture reading this evening, to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Him. What's closest to yourself other than yourself? Yourself is the closest thing to you. You can't get any closer than that. And that's the very thing that Jesus says to give up. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, love seeks not its own. And when we get up to love the Lord each day, we're not going to do what we want. We're not going to seek our own. We're going to give it up. And whatever that is, in the service of Christ. Well, this evening, we've seen that Abraham surrendered all. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Would you be willing to do that very thing? When Jesus talks about Abraham in the Gospels, He describes him as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are in the kingdom. And when Abraham is talked about in the New Testament, Paul and others talk about him as the person we're supposed to follow. And so this evening, I hope that we'll learn the lesson and be reminded to surrender like him. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 39 that we are to do the works of our father Abraham. Let us go out and surrender all like he did. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4 and verse 12, where Paul says that we are to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham. What does that mean, brethren? It means that we surrender all. We surrender our country and our kinship. We have a heavenly citizenship. It means that we're willing to surrender personal rights and look out for the things of others. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. It means to surrender our own will, whatever God's will is for me today in the Scripture, not what I want, and even that which is dearest to us. We're to walk in those steps of Abraham. Chapter 4 and verse 12 of the book of Romans, and the father of circumcision to them who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Let us walk in the steps of that faith. What kind of a faith, brethren? A surrendering faith. That's what it is. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 that we are Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's seed. We're to be acting like our father Abraham. And so I hope this evening we'll be reminded to do that. One of the most difficult things is surrender. We have things that we cherish and things that are close to us. And those are going to be some things that we're going to have to give up. So when we sing this song of encouragement in just a moment, and we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender," do we mean that? I believe we do. I hope we do. When we sing songs, let's mean what we sing. And when we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender," and we still need to become a Christian, then what you're going to do is, I surrender all, and then I'm just going to step forward and be baptized. If I sing, "All to Jesus I surrender," and then I don't step forward and be baptized, then I'm really not surrendering all. And if I'm singing tonight, "All to Jesus I surrender," and I need to come back to Him, I haven't been living faithfully, and I choose not to come back tonight, then I'm really not surrendering all to Jesus. When we sing it, let's mean it. All to Jesus, I surrender. That means I'm going to step forward and be baptized. I'm going to come back to the Lord if I've been living unfaithful. And for the faithful Christians here this evening, and I believe we have many, that means that you'll get up tomorrow like you got up today, and you'll do His will. And the things of this life will not be dear to you, and your own personal rights will not be put first. What you think and feel and what I think and feel will not take first place. And even that which is closest to me, I will give to the Lord. When we sing "All to Jesus," we'll go out and do that tomorrow. Do we really mean it? You know, Abraham means father of a multitude. And this evening we get a opportunity to be in that multitude. To be in that blessed people who will be saved. Let's make Abraham's surrender our surrender. And if we can encourage you to begin that surrender this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?